saving money on all your electrical needs at Menards. From wire, tools, testers, and more, Southwire is the perfect choice for your next electrical project. They offer innovative products to help you get your project done right. Hurry in today and save big on all Southwire products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards. Stay safe on the roads with Rain-X Vision Beam Wiper Blades, now at Menards. For over 40 years, Rain-X has provided drivers with products to outsmart the elements. Their Vision Beam Wiper Blades are easy to install and are designed to provide a smooth, streak-free wipe every time. Save big money on all Rain-X products now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome. You guys, thank you. Where are you guys located? Where are you living?
I'm in Virginia, like on the Virginia coast, like south. Southeast.
Okay. That's where I'm going.
And I'm in Savannah, Georgia.
Okay.
So, where are you?
I live in Alberta, Canada.
We're going to Canada.
Yeah?
I just, like, this is new breaking.
Hey, booked campsites for Ontario.
Yeah. We've been waiting, like, we've been wanting to go to Canada and talking, like, it'll be in episodes coming out about Canada because we've been talking about it forever, but I was waiting for all of the passport.
Okay.
Approvals so that I didn't lose the campsite money.
Yes, yes. And I'm assuming that's, like, way too far of a drive from Georgia. Oh, my husband.
Oh, we're driving.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
So my family's in New York. So we're driving up, picking up Ash in Virginia, going up to my family in Western New York, and then crossing over at the falls.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Be a crazy summer.
Like this year?
Mm-hmm. Yes, next month. Like 3 weeks. Like 2 weeks.
Wait, you're going together?
Yes.
Oh, wow. That's going to be good.
It's going to be, it'll be the longest trip that we've taken together. The longest trip I think that either of us has taken with our kids at all. Yeah. And the longest amount of time that our kids have spent together consecutively. So it might all crash and burn. They might kill each other. But
and we're doing it all in a pop-up trailer. I feel like that's an important detail.
Wow. Like, are you going in the same vehicle?
No. We can't fit our family in the same vehicle.
No, we each have 3 kids. Okay. Neither of us has sprung for the 15-passenger van yet.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to intro us in then. Welcome to the Adventure Mamas podcast. We are Nikki and Ashley, and today we are talking to a new friend named Danica, and Danica is with us from Canada, our first international guest.
Woo! So happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. Can we start? Can you tell us some about your family?
Yes, for sure. I've got lots to say about my family. So we live in Alberta, Canada, in the Canadian Rockies. So we're very close to the Continental Divide, which for the Americans listening, we live kind of directly north of Glacier National Park. And so it's a very mountainous area. And I met my husband 10 years ago doing a leadership training program when we were like young adults. So he works at a summer camp that takes kids into the wilderness, and they take like over 600 kids into the wilderness every summer, and kids that have never even experienced this to kids who have come back and done it every summer. So he pretty much taught me how to be an in-house guide with the camp. So I learned wilderness first aid, backcountry cooking, campcraft like knots, shelters, navigation, route finding, bear safety, and how to lead a group. So that's where I met my husband. And when the program ended, we have been together ever since. And he still teaches and leads this program. And yeah, I have two sons who were both born in our living room in a pool. So
my third was my home birth. I love another home birth mama.
Yes. I'm kind of obsessed about talking about positive labors. And if I had another podcast, I would have a birth story podcast. I just
love it.
Talking about it. Yes. And then something else to know about me is I just really love food and healthy food and cooking. And I actually pursued 2 years of holistic nutrition schooling, which led me to now having my own snack food blog, where I have over 100 recipes of healthy snacks. So
hey,
yeah, those are some fun things about me and my family.
Yeah, you are our people. How did you say how old your kids were too? Did I miss that or I blank?
My sons are 5 and 2.
Oh, okay. So you're right in like the same season of life.
Very much so. Very much so, that era with you guys.
The trenches.
The chaos. They still need me for absolutely everything.
Right. It is. Yes. It's a very needy phase of life.
Yeah. There's nothing else like it.
Yeah. So have you always been like this outdoor, adventurous kind of person? It sounds like that. Or was the camp experience kind of the catalyst?
No. So yeah, you're right. I have grown up in the mountains. I grew up close by here in British Columbia. And my family's vacations all the years growing up would be camping by a lake, by a river. Those are my favorite memories, you know, cooking together outside, canoeing, painting rocks. And so we did a lot of that. And then in high school, my high school had a super cool program where it was like outdoor ed and geography together. So they had like two blocks and they would like link it in the afternoon and like the next morning. And so we could go on overnight trips. And so it was so cool. We did like a solo adventure as like a 16-year-old in high school. And we hiked to an alpine hut by a glacier. Look up the Bugaboos in British Columbia. It's incredible. And I went there as a high schooler, which I've now gone back to with my kids, which is amazing. But that was such a cool experience to do. And then, yeah, I know. Like, I'm like, what high school?
Is this like a public high school? Or like what, like, if this was the States, this would be like an experimental wackadoodle
private charter. Cool. Like, yeah. No public programming in America would take on that liability.
I know. It's pretty incredible. I think the teacher fought for this and worked hard for it and has held the standard to be able to do it. So, yeah, it's a pretty incredible. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So after high school, I just wanted to travel. And so I went to New Zealand for 4 months. I explored Thailand, Cambodia, Ecuador. And then kind of, so it was like camp and traveling all in there. And then my husband and I got married. He took me on a surprise honeymoon, which was like this crazy adventure. I feel like I always need to like spit in there where he like was like, here's the packing list. I'm not telling you if we're driving or flying or hitchhiking or like whatever. Just be ready. And I was like, okay.
So that's amazing.
This 35-liter backpack, and we go to the airport. He's like, okay, I'll tell you. It was a 3-week-long honeymoon. And so he's like, I'll tell you the first week. The first week we're going to Spain. So we go to Spain. So funny. I love him. However, the first night in Spain, we actually stayed at a Airbnb with a host in Spain, mm-hmm. which I always think is so hilarious because I could hear her typing on her keyboard in the next room over. And I was like, we're on our honeymoon, Daniel. Like, I really, what's the next night going to be? But he had really thought this out. And so then we got to the next, so we drove from Spain to Portugal. And then he was like, okay, do you want to know what the next week's going to be? I was like, okay. We're in the airport at this point. We had checked in. I did not still know where we were going. And he was like, okay, it's somewhere on this board, like on this, you know, they list all the cities. And I was like, I don't know any of those names. Like, all of them look weird. I don't even know how to pronounce them. And he's like, we're going to Senegal and the Gambia. And so that is Western
what a
Africa.
Leap from Spain and Portugal.
Yeah. Western Africa. And we got there like 3 hours later. And I was like, wow, it was so hot, you guys. And I did not have the appropriate clothing. And but we had an amazing time. And then he was like, okay, what do you want to do for the last week? We are flying back to Europe and you can choose what we want to do. So we rented a car and we drove to France and Monaco and went to Belgium. And that was our, so that's just like a little taste of my husband. Like, he just is very like spontaneous, loves all the new things. And that's just kind of how we have continued with our kids.
And you flow with that. You're incredible.
Always on our toes. Yeah.
I was just telling Ashley, I've had an eye twitch for the last like 3 weeks, and thinking of my husband planning a trip without me just like triggered it again.
Amazing. Yes.
I couldn't give up the reins like that. That's amazing.
My husband did get grounded from trip planning for like 2 years after we went to visit his sister in Florida. And like, I don't know. The man maintains that he read reviews and he checked where we were going. He booked us at the steadiest, sketchiest like motel I had ever been in, and we had like two young children with us, and I walk into the room with his sister and we look at him and we're like, no we're not staying here. We were in that room maybe for 10 minutes and we're like, nope this is not for us.
Yeah, my best
are losing that deposit.
Yeah No, we will find anything else. There's probably anything is beyond this or like above this. My best friend messages me and I like tell her like, I'm in Western Africa on my honeymoon right now. They said there was air conditioning, but there's a ceiling fan and it's almost 40 degrees, which would be like Celsius. I don't know what 40 degrees might be like. I don't know. I have no idea. And she was like, are you okay? And I was like, actually... She's like, you're not in a resort? Like, what are you doing? I was like, honestly, like, it's Daniel. Like, I'm okay. I'm okay because I'm with him. And we're just figuring it out every day. And I was definitely very shocked. But I kind of knew, like, it was going to be a wild ride. And we're in for it. And we loved it.
Sounds fun. I feel like pre-kid adventures just hit different because you have that freedom to like if I walked into a seedy hotel before kids, I'd brush off a lot more than with kids in tow, you know?
Yeah.
Very like they just, the adventures are different before kids. I don't know how else to say it. It's just.
Yeah,
it just is. But it's amazing that you carry on with that adventurous spirit with your kids. I have to be a little bit more type A with my kids for my own sanity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. So you mentioned when we were emailing before this about backpacking. And I want to take time to talk about that because that is one of Ashley's, like, it was a New Year's resolution, but I think it's like a long-term resolution.
We're taking steps towards being the kind of family who goes on backpacking trips. Mm-hmm. Taking our baby steps.
And you've done that with your kids. Can you tell us about it? And then also just man, all just like tell us how to do it. Teach us.
Yes.
This is your way.
Yes. So honestly, when our first son was born, I kind of felt like I knew how to go camping. I knew how to go road tripping, but I didn't know how to take care of a baby. And I didn't really know how to stay in the house. And so honestly, it just was from the beginning. Like at 7 weeks, we took him. I carried him on my front and Daniel carried everything heavy. And we did a 2 kilometer walk in. Mm-hmm. We slept in a tent and it was very cold and he cried. And he cried at home too, though. You know, like it was just like, yeah. I was like, okay, he's fussy in this tent, but I'd rather be here. You know, I'd rather mm-hmm. be in this fresh air. We're actually by a waterfall and doing this and Daniel's with me and we're safe. And so that's really how it started. When he was 5, 6, and 7 months old, we lived in our minivan and we did a road trip. And on that road trip, one of the places that we went to was Vancouver Island. And there's this cool hike trek.
Saving money on all your electrical needs at Menards. From wire, tools, testers, and more, Southwire is the perfect choice for your next electrical project. They offer innovative products to help you get your project done right. Hurry in today and save big on all Southwire products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. Called the Wanda Fuca, and it is a backpacking trip along the ocean. And we're very much not ocean people. Like we lived like 12 hours from the ocean. But we had the opportunity, we had our backpacks with us. We weren't planning to really do this trip, but we had everything we needed. And so we were like, let's go for it. We know how to do this trip we know how to do backpacking. And so we brought his sister along with us. I think that's one of the things that I would say to point out from this is like, bring other people that don't have kids for your first one, if you're willing to, or like other couples or whatever. We've done that too.
A good ratio. And that's what we call it. Like you got to get the right ratio for the right
totally.
Trips.
Yeah. Especially on depending on like what kind of trip you're trying to do too. And she came with us and I believe it was a 5-day trip we did. And I remember drying our cloth diapers in the sun so they wouldn't be as heavy because you know as soon as they pee in them it's so heavy. But mm-hmm. so they have come along with us ever since we were little, so I want to keep that in mind as I'm like sharing this with you, and I want to give you insight and ask all the questions. But sometimes when we jump into it, you have to jump into it to kind mm-hmm. of see what you need to know, right?
Yeah.
So also from my perspective, like I want to share, but I'm also trying to say like, I've been in it so long that sometimes I can't always, answer all the questions or like give all the insight. You know what I mean?
I'm like blindsided to it for you. Like it's just like a nature.
We started it from when we were really little. And I think you can, like, I think you can do it from when you're really little. Like mm-hmm. you said, I think Ashley, you have a 1-year-old, is mm-hmm. it 1, 4, and 7? Like is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I totally think that those are great ages to go. I would say just like book something in, like just schedule it. That's what I would say.
we've like toyed around with the idea. We spent a good 2 years, I feel, getting our oldest to like hiking again. He went through this very long period. I mean, he's 7, like a long period is relative, but like he went through a decent chunk of time where he's like, no, I will not go hiking, I will not go camping, you cannot make me. It's like,
yeah,
okay. There's a whole world to explore, buddy.
Like, yeah,
he's back online with the rest of us now and we're good, and like we're building up those hiking muscles and he'll carry things down the trail. We've turned a real corner here.
He'll carry sticks down the trail.
Do your kids sleep in tents?
They do. Yeah.
Okay. That's a huge win then.
They're happy tent sleepers, usually. Aww. I mean, happy as they like ever are sleeping.
I would. Is there many backpacking trips in the area that you live in?
I don't know,
which is not great.
Yes.
We're
Yeah, the there's Ashley is not far from the Appalachian Trail.
like 4 hours.
Oh, was it that far?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my husband went and backpacked the a portion of the Appalachian Trail, but I guess he must have driven farther than I thought.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still doable, but I don't know if I would say it's like right there.
Yeah, nearby. That ocean one you talked about, though, like that might hit my bucket list.
Yeah,
West Coast.
I mean, and you can just like you see all the sea life, right? And then the tide goes out, and you can choose to do like the beach route when the tide is out, or you go inland when the tide is up, and go on the trails and up and down. But yeah, one thing I
Awesome.
would say is I think a lot of people get cold. I don't know how warm it is where you guys are. I'm thinking that if you're in southern states, it probably gets pretty hot, but I do feel like a lot of people get re like it's really warm during the day when we're outside or hiking, summer stuff. But when we're in the mountains, it gets so cold at night. Like the temperature drop is often drastic. And so I think that just being prepared with a warm enough sleeping bag, because often the rating on it, you want something much warmer than what it like is actually saying on it. And then just like all the tricks to go to bed warm and stay warm. I don't know. Is this co totally like, is it totally warm where you guys are where that wouldn't even be applicable?
Depends.
It depends. It depends on when and where.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Okay.
my
Right now,
husband.
I can't conceptualize being cold, but like it does
Okay.
happen.
When Alexander did the Appalachian Trail, he did it in October, and it was
Okay.
hot during the day, but at night, like he had to have, so he did hammocks.
Okay.
So I have follow-up questions about tent backpacking for you.
Yes.
But with the hammocks, he had to have like very warm under quilts and over quilts because it gets cold enough, and especially with the airflow underneath him, like even though it felt even colder and they were cold then. But how do you do it with a tent? Because I cannot, like, he was weighing every, and he did it with a bunch of his army buddies, so like it's a little bit different because they're intense. Like they're like weighing out all of their food and packing MREs and stuff like that to like make sure that their packs are a decent weight and
Okay.
all of that. So like I cannot conceptualize carrying a tent. Do you have a specifically lightweight one? Do you like what is your pack load? Like what does it look like when your family is going backpacking? Like what's the I'm just not picturing it. I'm not picturing
Yeah.
how a family, especially with young kids, can carry what you need and
Yes.
walk. Like,
Yes. Okay, well, I feel like the younger that your kids are, the more clothing and warm things that you need, like extra layers. So I have been so thankful for other couples that have come along and carry stuff. But honestly, tents are heavy. You can get a lot of heavy tents, and like those are the, like it's hard to invest in a lighter tent because they're more expensive when they're lighter, right? When you're just starting out. And so there's often, I wonder if REI rents tents out. We have MEC here, and I believe MEC rents tents out, but if they would rent out a lighter tent, and often we'll like separate all the fabric pieces of the tent with the poles, and one person carries the poles and one person carries all the tent pieces in their tent in their backpack. And then we have the sleeping bags in the bottom of our pack, and then we kind of have the heavier stuff, which would be like the food. You would have a small pot or a medium pot with a stove. And then you would kind of have all like your clothing on top of that. And then in the top of your pack, like the brain, you would have your safety and gear, some other maybe heavy stuff, first aid kit stuff, maybe a knife, things like that. And so with the really little kids, like all they can carry really is water. But sometimes, like, I think I would get my 5-year-old to carry like his sleeping bag and his water. And then other things that you can do is get a double wide Therm-a-Rest or mattress, and then you can have like a couple kids sleep on that with you, or like a kid sleep on that with you, so that you don't have to carry so many Therm-a-Rests. But yeah, it's bulky. I feel like our packs out here can be anywhere from like 35 to like 60 pounds.
Okay. Yeah. And with a young kid, like, because you said your youngest is one, right?
No, you're two.
Like, are you having to carry them as well? So, like, are you, you know what I mean? Like, are you not able to pack out because you're carrying a child as well?
Yes.
I'm picturing my crew. I would need to carry at least the baby.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. So I have an Osprey backpack that my youngest would go in. Or a Trail Magic carrier. Have you guys seen those?
Yeah. I don't have one, but I'm obsessed. I'm actually thinking about getting one for Canada.
Yeah, totally.
I think that might be the answer to some of the things I'm trying to work out.
Yeah, totally. And that is really key when you don't have a lot of people to spread out the load and the weight and the stuff. And if your sling bags and things are bulky still, that's really key. When I've done shorter trips and with other people have been able to carry the water purifier bag, even the pots for me and the stove. And so I haven't had to carry that. And so I literally took like my sleeping bag. I strapped my tent to the outside. We took a sleeping bag, a mat, and then it was just like his clothes and his diaper. And like, there's usually like two zippers in those backpack carrier ones. And so I just took basically fabric, and then there was room for water in that. And so all food and like safety stuff someone else carried when I've done these other trips.
Realistic.
I feel like a good amount of stuff fits in the Osprey in like that backpack carrier. I've always been like, I mean, day trips, like we haven't done overnight backpacking. I've always been like, huh, we had a lot of stuff in here.
I would love there to be like a more lightweight carrier with more room. Like, it would be amazing if someone made that one day, because honestly, it's like 35 liters is like what you have is like a, so that's like a bit bigger than a day backpack. And so it's not huge, but usually for like an overnight trip, I would want like a 50 to 60 liter pack. Right. So, yeah.
Realistically, how far are you able to walk? Like, what's your daily plan with a backpacking trip with kids? Like, how far are you walking? Are you walk? You know what I mean? Like, do you have it set up to do activities, or is the walking the only activity? Like, what does a day look like backpacking with kids?
So a few things here. I would say my kids can hike longer when they're with other kids. And so I'm thinking about last year I did a backpacking trip with moms, and it was about a 3-kilometer hike in.
It's 5 kilometers.
About 3 kilometers, it was more uphill, but the kids just kind of raced. And so we just allotted, you know, I think we got there around 10 a.m. and just, I think we got there at 4 or something, but we just took lots of breaks. And so I don't really have a matrix, I guess is what I'm trying to say, or like a ratio of what you'd say. But I would just I honestly, with how little my kids are doing, or how young my kids are right now, I would probably do like less than 7 kilometers in a day, I think. and schedule lots of breaks, lots of snacks. There's like a hike I'm looking at right now where it's like a 2 kilometer walk hike into a lake. And that's kind of like, okay, that looks great. I think if my husband could come and carry my kids also and carry gear, I would do something a bit bigger. But honestly, in this season of life, we have adopted canoe camping.
Yeah.
You just throw it all in. You can take the weight, you can take the gear, less, like you don't have to hike. And so honestly, we are really gearing towards canoe camping more these years. I feel like we have done less backpacking trips since we've had 2 kids, and yeah, I've done more canoe camping trips.
So I have a follow-up question for that, because my mm-hmm. husband loves to canoe camp. And I am hesitant around water with the children. How do you manage camp where the campground is right next to the water like that? That is a big stressor for me and what I look for. Yeah. Like, I want to have beaches and water activity around us, but as far as like having it where if the kid wakes up before me, they can get to water without me noticing is like a big stressor for me. Do you just have more disciplined children than mine, or like, do they just listen to you better, or do you have any rules of thumb? Like, how do you navigate that?
Yeah, I would say my kids are loud. I am not able to sleep in past them, but no, I feel like I know what you mean. Like, even cooking dinner and stuff.
Yeah, just anything that takes, and there's so many things that can take your attention because there's so many things to do when you're camping and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think they need to learn a healthy fear of water. I think that is one thing. Like my one son has fell off the paddleboard last year. And I think that was like a very good thing for him to learn, or just like how deep it is and like knowing their limits. And so if you can really even go to the pool and like see how far they can get out until they can't swim anymore, they can't touch anymore, and see how scary that is. I think that's one way that you can teach them. I think you can give them life jackets to wear all the time. Like, we're at a beach, like we're at the water, like you can wear this. Last year we did a 5-day canoe trip in Myrtle Lake, which is a beautiful place in British Columbia. And we brought the grandparents and uncle and auntie and everyone. And so often, usually someone was always with the kids. And I think that most of these campsites were not right on the water, I would have to say. Like, most of them were kind of in the trees. And if we could see the beach, it was like wide open.
Okay.
Like, so we could see them, I would say. Yeah. There does that
line of sight? Yeah.
Yeah. Does that kind of help?
Yeah, I think my kids probably need a little bit more fear and I need a little bit less.
I mean, I think we all have one of those areas.
I'm still thinking this. I'm still just picturing, because it just sounds like such a wonderful, magical world and experiences that you're building for your kids. And it's different than the types of adventures that I've done with mine. So it's like, I'm like kind of daydreaming just as you speak. Mm-hmm. I almost made a note about like, look up backpacking trails. Like, I never even considered that there's these places that are meant, and you know what I mean, structured and kind of already blazed, like the trail is already blazed for that.
Well, a lot of people often say to me about canoe camping too, they're like, how does your kid not jump out of the canoe? Like, that's their biggest fear. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I guess there is like a bit of my kid's personality. I think my oldest is more nervous and my youngest is just, you know, follows the oldest's lead right now, but I think it will change soon and he'll be in the water all the time. But yeah, I think as you practice it, or as you just experience it, you'll see, you'll like it, there will be ideas that will come up. There will be a way to manage it. You know, even when you're like, okay, this seems overwhelming, this seems crazy. I have felt that on so many of these trips and before we've left in and stuff. And my husband's like, no, you can do this. It's okay. And there is a way. There is a way to do it. And even just like with nap time and canoeing, and my kids have fallen asleep in a canoe. And I'm like, this is magic, but not in witchcraft. Or I don't know, like what they have. And they have thrown toys out of the canoe. Like there's all the crazy things. But at the end of the day, we're all together and maybe going crazy, but we're okay. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I haven't taken our oldest, and I think part of that too is the immersion too, because I wouldn't be scared for a second about my oldest climbing out of the canoe because he's done it since he was like 3. My middle has done it a lot, but my baby, we call Moana.
Okay.
The water calls her, and she's also just, man, she might be my boldest yet, which, okay, Lord help us. Mm-hmm. So that might be a new fear unlocked for me with her, but we haven't crossed that bridge yet with her. She hasn't been in the canoe yet. She's also our last. So I think that it's just like, I'm holding it a little bit closer to me. She's still like a little newborn. Like, of course, mm-hmm, my husband cannot take her on the canoe. She's a newborn, but she's 2.
Right.
She can. I should.
She's just a baby.
She's just a baby. I've been having to catch myself with the big kids with that, where like they're like, she scratched me. And I'm like, she's just a baby. And then I'm like, no, she's actually a menace. Like she's attacking
them. She meant it. She said what she meant. She meant what she said.
Like, okay, she's big enough to take some accountability. I need to get over this mind hurdle here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That. Do you do a lot of adventuring with your boys solo? It sounds like you've had a lot of really beautiful family and like extended family trips, which sounds so nice. But do you do, like, are you also going off and backpacking with just the boys on your own? Or is that something that you do at least with like another adult?
I haven't done a ton of just solo with the boys. I think there, like when my second was born, I had a goal to go on like a solo overnight, but I was still breastfeeding. And so we biked a couple kilometers from home and like set up in the wilderness. And I did that by myself, and that was beautiful. But it's harder with 2, I would say. And so last year, I've done a lot of like planning. I'll say this probably later on too. Often I'll just like plan something to make it happen. You know, I'll be like, hey, do you want to do this with me? And then it's with other mothers when my husband is like very busy with camp season. And so it's a lot of me doing these adventures with other mothers is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And it's where it's even car camping or backpacking just to make it happen.
I love that. That's why Ashley and I adventure together, is because our husbands both have demanding jobs as well. And
mm-hmm, I needed somebody else to them all the time, we'd never go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also, yeah, solo is hard.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Sorry, it's a little bit late here too. We joke on our podcast, like our brains get a little bit foggy and a little bit silly the later it gets. I love us. It.
No, and I think you guys are much later than me. I'm sorry.
No, you're thank you for doing
this to me after bedtime.
This is our normal when we're recording. Okay. We lie to ourselves and we're like, we're going to get on at 8:30, and then it's like 9:45 and we're like, I'm still awake. Are you still awake? Let's do this.
That's amazing.
So you do, have you done international trips? Then from what I understand. Okay. Have you done that with kids, or has that been mostly pre-kids?
No. So that has been a lot. We've done it with kids almost every single year since they've been born, international trips. Let me share a little bit about this because.
Yes, please.
Yeah. It's a whole thing. So before I met my husband, he would work up north for 4 months and like the oil rigs where he could be a paramedic and, you know, you could make a lot of money quickly. So he would work there for 4 months. He would go back to summer camp and volunteer for 4 months, and then he would go travel for 4 months, like with the money that he had. And then he would do it again. And he did this for multiple years in a row, and he called it the year of thirds because it was split into three parts. And he just loved it. Like, it was amazing. And he always kind of talked very fondly about this way that he lived life before we got married. And then kind of the year that I met him, he got locked into this job where he didn't do that year of thirds anymore. But he still had this camp job where it was very intense for 4 months in the summer. And in the off season, we would do a big international trip. And so we have always kind of done that, except for those years that, you know, we all couldn't travel.
We don't speak of those years.
Yeah.
They don't exist to us. Some of us traveled anyway.
Some of us didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
I moved international.
Oh, okay. Where were you?
I lived in Japan.
Oh, wow.
Because my husband's military. And so we were stationed in Japan and got moved back to America when America was super weird. Like,
why couldn't we have just stayed in Japan? I know.
Anyways, though.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're so international travel.
Yeah. So we continued these trips. So he would work in the summer, and we would both work together at summer camp. And then we would kind of have a slow season, and then we would go away from anywhere from like 5 weeks to 3 months in the wintertime. And it kind of continued when our first son was born. We did that road trip for 3 months, which I talked about. That was a sabbatical summer, so it was a little bit different, but it was like 3 months away. And then we came home. And then after that, we went to Kenya with my oldest son. My sister lives in Kenya, so we were there for 3 months.
Where in Kenya is your sister?
In Nairobi.
No, my husband grew up in Nairobi.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
have you been there?
Karen. Yes, that's actually where we met. I did my study abroad there.
Oh, cool. It is like, there's everything in Nairobi. Like, it's the, I think it's like, I always like to think it's like the most westernized African city, probably other than like some places in South Africa. But I mean, you can get sushi, you can get Italian pizza. Like,
the best sushi of my life in Nairobi.
Yeah. Right. Like,
what?
When I talk about this, I always like try to put that in there because I want people to know. I want you to know, like, it's this place that's also surrounded by a national park that's gorgeous with giraffes by the highway. Like, it's just cool. The cool city.
It is.
It's on my bucket list now. It wasn't before. I love Alec.
It wasn't on your bucket list before Danica put it on your bucket list.
You didn't sell it to me well enough, Ash.
Wow.
There's also a hotel where giraffes can come in the window and like eat breakfast with you.
Done.
It's so cool. It's like this really cool
giraffe hotel. Okay. So Ashley and Alec told me about chasing mambas with machetes, not about giraffes eating through my window.
Okay. That's not like a Nairobi proper story. That was Kit and Gello, which is like a little outside. That's more of the game park.
Yes.
All you gotta work on your sales pitches, Ash.
Apparently.
Oh, man.
So you went to Kenya you should.
We went to Kenya. It was amazing. My sister had a baby the same year we did, and so cousins got to do life together. And so then when my second child was born, he was healthy. He was born in November, and we said, let's get a passport and go to Cuba because there's cheap flights to Cuba. So,
and you can, cause you're Canadian.
Yeah. And we can. I know. Everyone's wait, what? Yes, I know. So we went for 7 weeks, and by the time we came back, my son had spent more of his life in Cuba than he had in Canada. And so we did kind of like a homestay situation there where you stay with the locals and then they'll cook you food. It's just a very interesting country. So there wasn't always like a lot of plentiful food or good options. And it was actually a really hard trip, but we do have fun memories of a family being there. Yeah.
How do you arrange? So I've heard like world schoolers. I'm in some groups for that and stuff. And I hear of people who do those types of things where like they stay with a family or host family. But, like, how do you find somebody who's like, sure, come be with us?
Yeah, totally. You know what? I would only know for Cuba because we haven't done this with our in other countries. But in Cuba, the place that we showed up at was Varadero, and it's this small town. And literally you get off the bus where all the tourists come in, and there's just like all these women standing there with like laminated cards that are like, this is my house. Like, do you want to come stay with me? And you just choose one of them, and you don't book anything before you go there because that's just how you go to Varadero. And you just like, unless you have some previous booking with an Airbnb, which you can also do, but it's more expensive. So you show up and then you bargain the price with them. Like, I think we were like, if we stay with you for 2 weeks, could we pay $15 a night instead of $20 a night? And they were like, sure. And
what if nobody's there? Is there always just some ladies there, like, with signs? Like,
what? Yeah. Well, I think that their main way of income in Varadero is tourism. So yeah, they're always gonna have you. But I know there's a girl that I was following on Instagram. I forget her name right now. I'm not good at names. I'm good at faces. You know, I wish sometimes Instagram you could like be like, they look like this. Can you find them for me?
They posted about this. And she had blonde traveler.
Yes. but she was in Asia with her family, and I'm trying to remember what country she was in, but she said that homestays are very normal there. And I think it's a website that you go on and you just look up homestays.
Like, I don't have this recorded.
So last year our trip was to Turkey, and a house sit. And so it's trustedhousesitters.com. A lot of military families use this website that live. You heard of it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so this lady in Turkey needed someone to watch her remote farmstead that was a 10-minute walk from the ocean. And
what a task. Right?
Yeah, we could see the Greek islands from our house. It was kind of crazy. So we were there for—
Does she do this often?
Yeah, right.
So she needs somebody for next year?
She has had someone before for 12 months, or it was 10 months. It was like the majority of the year. And I was like,
where does she go? What life does she live? What's her story? How would she leave?
I think she lives half her life in Australia with her partner. So,
okay.
Totally. So yeah, we were taking care of these two massive dogs, chickens. It was solar panel and like rainwater. And so she'd be like, okay, if it doesn't look like if it's going to rain and like, it's not sunny, don't do laundry because you won't have any water or power. Like, you'll run it, right? And so like, that was our life for a month, and it was very eye-opening. And when I came home, I was very strict about like, turn the lights off this second, you know. And I think it was a good thing to instill in me, but it got really lonely, to be honest, after a month of being there without knowing a lot of people and just being also remote. But it was just like, it's such a beautiful memory. And yeah, so I guess what I was saying, sorry, just to go back a little bit, is my husband did the life of thirds now. And we kind of say now we do the life of thirds with our kids. And we only kind of accepted this and realized that we were doing it about 2 years ago. And so now we kind of say, like, we have a season in the summer where daddy works really intensely and I'm at home with the kids, kind of solo parenting. And it's full on, and we just, you know, all have to kind of sacrifice and get to our ends. And then in the fall, it's a lot slower, very community focused, very family focused, much more local. And then we have another season where we're international and we do a lot of family time. But we also are keeping our routine because it's a longer trip, and we're both working still. Like, I'll work on my food blog and Daniel will work on his, back end stuff of his job too.
Can you share? I want to talk to you for like 10 hours.
But we do not have 10 hours. So can you share, you mentioned your food blog. I'd love for you to share with our listeners about what that is like and what you do with food. And also you have a podcast, which we definitely want to highlight. And I would love to hear more about, called Let's Go Outside.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I have a food blog, and like I've mentioned, it's all healthy snacks for like adventure moms. That's kind of like my area of niche, which I love. So it's like a ton of sweeties.
We are snackers. So
yeah. Yeah. high protein snacks, baking snacks, all the things. So it's called BesideTheMountain.com. And I'm always sharing new recipes there. And then, yeah, in December, I started a podcast, and I just felt like on the Instagram, in the Instagram world, we have these pictures and they're like very much highlight reels. And I was like, I want to just like dive into this more, because I know that like I myself really deal with comparison, and I'm very like, I see something and you just like feel shame or just like got not good enough or just even question it all. I was like, I want to dive in deeper. Like, I want to hear like, what's the story that like got them from where they are, where they were before to where they are now? Like, what got them on this trip? Right. Mm-hmm. Or like, what's their background? Or like, how could I do that? And how are we actually like so similar to that person, and we could actually make that happen ourselves? So that was kind of the vision for the podcast. I really wanted to network with other women who love to go outside. And yeah, one of my goals from when my children were born was to support my mental health in taking them outside every single day. And then it has turned into something so much bigger and just like a huge part of our lifestyle. And so now I just am like, let's just do this together. So that has, that's what it's about. And so I talk to moms who go hiking in Nepal with their kids, to like moms that live on a sailboat, to moms that want to do more canoe camping, to, you know, moms who do everyday life in their backyard, you know? And so all the different things going outside together. It. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm so excited. I'm not going to sleep tonight. I'm just going to listen to your podcast now.
Yes.
No sleep. Yeah. I didn't drink an energy drink tonight. I was a little bit more wise.
your eyes already twitching, Nikki.
Yeah, I hope this is energizing for you.
Yeah, it's so great. And I just love connecting with different moms and seeing, like you said, like what's going on. And I feel like we have similar visions for our platforms with a little bit, you know, different niches. I love the idea of like the story of how you get there. Cause like very few people just like wake up one day and are like, let's backpack with kids. I want to sleep in a tent tonight. I would really love to sleep on the ground tonight. Like,
Yes. The context is just so helpful. It just breaks it all down, I think. Like, and there's just so little context on Instagram. And so it's like, let's just bring that in and see, like, let's kill all those lies and chat about this.
Because man, people post some beautiful stuff, and it's like encouraging, but also just feels so impossible sometimes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, even for me, who like, I don't know, even for someone who's grown up camping and absolutely like loves it and has taken their like newborns doing it, it still is like, oh my gosh, I didn't go out camping this month or, you know, this season. You know, you're still kind of like, oh my gosh, could I do something like that? So yeah
comparison is a killer. That's why one of the reasons why we're going up to Canada is because I felt like so I grew up in New York, where like summertime is your adventure exploring time, you know, but now like in Georgia, like summertime is when you bunker down. Mm. And I'm like watching.
Too hot to move.
I know. Like it was like 93 degrees today. I can't function. It's spring still in my mind. Like,
okay.
Yeah. I can't. And so, but like, I was like, but I'm watching and comparing to all of the like fun summer stuff. And I'm like, it was kind of that hurdle of like, oh, I'm a bum right now. Mm-hmm. I was like, but Canada,
It's not 100 degrees in the summer.
Go to Canada, you guys. Like, the Canadian summer is unreal. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited for you guys.
Perfect. Yeah. I am too. Well, I want to respect your time. Are there any final thoughts from you, Danica, or from Ashley? I feel like I kind of,
No, I was talked a lot. Just sitting here absorbing all of the things. I'm going to like go upstairs and be like, Danica says we just need to go backpacking.
Just schedule it in. I want to say, like,
make it happen. People,
look up a place, like, take that dream and be like, how specific can we go? And that is going to get you there, you know? Make it really specific. Get a picture of it on your wall and put a date under it. And then, you know,
we're going to get a friend,
find a friend to go with. And you're going to be doing lots of these.
I will be offended if you take another friend backpacking, Ashley, now that I am catching this vision for it.
Yes, right. You need to go together. This is your, I'm sending you.
Just add it to the Canada trip. Also, there's backpacking. But wait, there's more.
I need more than 2 weeks, Ash, to plan that. Don't be crazy now.
So I just interviewed Annika Meng last week, or this last week, and she has an app called Trail Collective. Have you guys heard of that? Mm-mm. So it's a trail, an app where people are putting in hikes for families, and they rate it specifically for families that you can find the perfect hike. Ooh. And so she was saying that it's slowly becoming more popular in America with more people adding more hikes, but Ontario, there's quite a lot hopping up right now. So check it out. Ooh. Yeah.
Ashes are, I booked the campsites.
Yes. And, like, the now activities are on me.
There you go. Yeah.
So that looks right up your alley, Ashley.
There you go.
All right. Well, thank you so much for spending time with us and talking and helping inspire us to get outside in a different way.
Yeah. Yes.
And yeah, I hope to chat, follow along our journeys. We should email a little bit more. We're on similar journeys here.
Let me know all your questions.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I will.
Yeah.
And our listeners, you can connect with us online. We are at adventure.mamas.podcast on Instagram. On Facebook, we are The Adventure Mamas Podcast. And we also have a group that is becoming active called Just Adventure Mamas, to just help inspire and encourage, bounce ideas. I bought a new cooler. So y'all helped me pick out the right cooler for the next trip. Yay, we'll have cold food. And you can also email us adventuremamaspodcast@gmail.com. Danica is, I didn't write down your handles. I wrote down your podcast is Let's Go Outside. What platforms is that on?
Yeah, that's on all platforms and on YouTube too, if you want to watch it on YouTube. And then on Instagram and my food blog are both Beside the Mountain, and you can find it on Pinterest too. So, yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And
thank you, Ashley. Thank you, Nikki. Yes, we'll have to stay in touch.
All right. Thanks. Aww.